This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Tuesday, May 29th, 2012. Favorable weather conditions yesterday allowed crews to gain the upper hand on two western Colorado fires. As of 9 p.m. last night, the Sunrise Mountain Fire, about 4 miles south of Paradox, was about 30% contained. The fire, which started on Friday, has burned more than 5,300 acres of public land. The cause of the fire is currently under investigation. Fire crews have created buffers around houses and buildings in the area, and no structures have burned. Yesterday, firefighters conducted small burnout operations in multiple locations along the perimeter, but most were concentrated on the southwest side of the fire. According to the Incident Information System, there are 5 helicopters, 7 fire trucks, and approximately 400 personnel on the scene. With favorable weather conditions expected again today, firefighters will continue to build and strengthen containment lines helped by helicopter water drops. The Denver Post reports that the Little Sand Fire northwest of Pagosa Springs in Archuleta County started on Thursday from a spot fire. According to the U.S. Forest Service, it was estimated to have covered more than 2,600 acres by Sunday. Fire personnel are also continuing to work on that fire. Crews may conduct some small burnouts there to keep the fire from crossing the river. A public comment deadline ends Wednesday on a draft study of a proposal to expand 2 Bowie Resources federal coal leases by a total of about 500 acres. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the Bureau of Land Management says the lease modification proposal would prevent the bypassing of about 3.25 million recoverable tons of federal coal and add about a year to the life of Bowie No. 2 mine north of Paonia. The BLM says the mine has operated since 1997 and produced about 2.5 million tons of coal last year. It employs about 300 people and paid $860,000 in tax revenues last year to Delta County, making it the county's largest revenue source. The BLM released a draft environmental assessment on the proposal at the end of April. It says the proposal would provide for a logical extension of 3 longwall mining panels. Failing to extend them would make it economically and technically infeasible to mine the coal in the lease modification areas in the future, it says. There are more issues identified in the assessment and measures proposed to address those issues. More information is available in today's Daily Sentinel, including information about comments, again due by Wednesday. Ouray School was recently identified as a model school for children with autism spectrum disorders. The Telluride Watch reports that it is one of only 2 schools in the entire state to have received this designation, awarded through the State Education Department. The Watch reports that for the past 2.5 years, Ouray School has been participating in the Colorado Model Autism and Significant Support Needs Program project. That program is a grant-funded initiative building model autism programs throughout the state. The goal is that as the project grows, participating schools will serve as beacons and mentors to other districts struggling to cope with what some experts have described as an autism epidemic across the state and the country. The Watch reports that state education autism consultants have visited Ouray School consistently since the project began in 2010 to provide coaching and mentorship to teachers and administrators. The school's achievement of model status basically means that it has graduated from the program, meeting or exceeding all of the characteristics needed to serve kids with autism. Ouray School Superintendent Scott Panko says the designation is, quote, really a tribute to our teachers and their continuous and tireless efforts, end quote. The Watch reports that the school is already becoming a magnet for families with children affected by autism spectrum disorders. So far, the program has been fully implemented at the elementary and middle school levels. Next year, the focus will be on high school and helping older students transition to the world beyond. Many cyclists took on a train on Saturday in the 41st annual Iron Horse Bicycle Classic Race. According to the Durango Herald, local lore says the race started when Tom Mayer hopped on his bike and raced his brother Jim, a brakeman for the Denver and Rio Grande Western Railroad, to Silverton. 41 years later, riders are still recreating the event. The Herald reports that Mindy Caruso made it a clean sweep of the weekend's Omnium events, winning the Iron Horse Bicycle Classic women's time trial yesterday. The victories in the road race, criterium and time trial, different cycling events, locked up the Omnium title for Caruso. The Herald reports that 19-year-old Robin Ekman of Boulder won the pro men's time trial, helping his team take the top three positions in the Omnium. Teammate Nate Wilson, who won Sunday's criterium and was third in Saturday's road race, was the Omnium winner. Wilson is 20. Now here's something that will get you moving if that didn't. Roller derby is gaining in popularity with leagues popping up all over the state. From Rocky Mountain Community Radio Station KGNU, here's a profile of Boulder County's first roller derby league.
I'm Courtney MacArthur, president and founder of the Boulder County Bombers. And my number is 9 from the Beatles song, Revolution 9. Roller derby is a contact sport. It's high intensity, it's very aggressive, and it's basically a race on roller skates. Well, it really took off in the 70s. You may have seen it televised in the 70s by the Seltzer family, and it used to be banked track, it used to be co-ed, and it used to be very staged. And so after it kind of got resurrected in 2001, all of that changed. And so now, even though we do still have our stage names and we have these cool outfits and we have a lot of attitude and stuff to go along with it, it's much more real and competitive and athletic than maybe it had been before. It's women from all walks of life. I mean, just here tonight we have a doctor, a chiropractor. We have a woman that works at a knitting magazine. We have a woman that does events at the First Bank Center. We have an analyst. We have a massage therapist. We have a metal worker over there. And we have a stay-at-home mom and a student. The very first league in Boulder County is the Boulder County Bombers, and within the league we have three teams. We have our two home teams, which is the Daisy Nukes and the Shrapnellies, and then we also have our travel team, which is pulled out of the home teams, and we call it the Boulder County Bomber All-Stars. We have hip hits, we have whips, everybody knows whips from the movie Whip It. And there's several different kinds, inside, outside. You block with your hips, you have shoulder checks, which is, you know, self-explanatory. You have the can opener move, which is a shoulder to the opponent's chest and usually sends them flying backwards. There's a lot of really cool, you know, assists and hits in roller derby. You have two teams out on the track. You have four blockers from each team, and then you have two jammers that start behind them, and the jammers are the racers. The blockers are trying to block the opposing jammer while also assisting their jammer through to lap the pack. So once the jammers break through, they want to lap the pack, and that's when they start scoring. There's two 30-minute halves consisting of jams. Jams can last no longer than 2 minutes. They are sometimes shorter. And then there's 30 seconds sort of to reset in between jams. People oftentimes don't necessarily know what is going on when they first watch roller derby, but as soon as you figure out, okay, you know, this is what's going on, then it starts to get very exciting. But even before that, even, you know, just watching the hits and people going flying, and sometimes, you know, depending on where the seats are in relation to the track, you could end up with a derby girl in your lap. Thank you.
And that piece came to us from KGNU in Boulder, along with KVNF, a member of the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Network. For our final story, Wright's Mesa landowners near Norwood are again eligible for funding to battle the noxious weed whitetop, also known as hoary cress. The Telluride Watch reports that both San Miguel and Montrose County landowners are eligible for the program, which reimburses 75% of the cost of the herbicide. A total of $5,000 is available through the Habitat Partnership Program and San Miguel and Montrose counties. With this year's dry spring, whitetop is quickly utilizing what moisture and nutrients are available, which will substantially reduce forage and hay. Whitetop is a perennial plant in the mustard family that grows and blooms in the early spring, releases seed, and then goes dormant for the rest of the season. According to the Watch, treating whitetop with herbicide is the most effective way to control it. For more information and to sign up for the Whitetop Control Cost Share Program, contact Sheila Grother in San Miguel County or Lori Mingen in Montrose County. This concludes the KVNF Morning Newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.